I'm here.
At least. Oh, yeah. Rightio, welcome everybody to August council meeting. Clear the meeting open. We've only got Elise is away from us today. Have we got any leave of absence for the next Shire meeting?
Nil.
This is the one that's getting changed, isn't it?
When is the next Shire meeting?
27th.
But we've got an item that comes up later on today about that to fit in with Walga, so it'll be the Thursday probably.
Do we have to come back to that application for leave of absence?
Yeah, rightio. Yeah, righto. We'll come back to that. No, no worries.
You want to do the rule first? We've got to get in there.
Oh, sorry. Yep. Yeah. Sorry, John. First, I need a mover and a seconder to have Will attend via Zoom. Blanche, Ray, thank you very much. All those in favour?
Aye.
Welcome, Will.
Thanks, everyone.
Staff, John, Jared, Andrea, Cherie. We'll come back to that one. Application to leave. Public question time, nil. Disclosure of interest? Nothing.
No.
Presentations? We haven't got any presentations. Announcements by persons presiding without decision? Not that I know of. Matters which we go behind closed doors. We have one of those today. Item 11.1, the land or Mount Augustus Road concrete and culvert works. Confirmation of previous minutes. I need a mover and a seconder of the confirmation of previous minutes.
I'll move those minutes. Ollie.
Hamish, thank you. Ray?
Yep.
All those in favour?
Aye.
Righto. Agenda items. 10.1, accounts and statements. Appendix 1. Any comments for Andrea or anything for Andrea out of any of that from anybody?
I've just got one question.
Far away, Will.
Far away.
Yeah, it just relates to that Mitch Garbutt in legal expenditure on, I could take time to get the reference, but everyone probably knows that we've obviously got outstanding rent from Mitch Garbutt, and that was legal expenses there. So I'm just trying to, the question I had was, do we need to have a council resolution on where we're going with that that action, and should we have something today? We can make a motion to request the CEO to bring back something to council to make a decision on that item. It's part of the financial statements.
Good question, Will.
Yeah, look, we've looked at it and explored it. I think we'll bring it back that we write that debt off. It's going to cost us more in legal fees to try and capture it, and that's if we can capture it. We're better off writing that off and getting it off the books. Would you agree, Andrew?
Absolutely. I'm just trying to find... There was a payment that had gone through to... what's it called? Kennedy
Venturia?
Yep, that's right. But unfortunately, it had been missed from 2023. And we had never paid it because we'd never received it. So that's why it's come up and been shown on this payment list. I'm just trying to find exactly where it is. But yes, I'd like to see if we can close this off and bring it to the next council meeting so we can write it off at the 30th of June and close it out as part of last year.
Do you need a council resolution that would help that effect today from today's council meeting? Would that help, or you've got to wait till next council meeting?
That would probably be advisable, because if we have it sooner than later, that gives us then the ability to do so, because any debt write-offs, etc., has to be done through council. And that would be wonderful, actually, from that point of view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I might leave that to you to draft something so we can consider it maybe as part of this meeting, but that's up to the guy president.
Just say that again, please, Will. I didn't quite hear you.
I said I'm happy to move a motion, but I don't have the headspace to draft right now, but I'm happy for Jim, if you want to move a motion, I'm happy to support it in terms of writing that debt off.
We'll bring that up in urgent business.
Yep, let me just see if I can...
under section 12, under it. We'll bring it up there. That's the best place for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, no further questions from me.
At the end of the meeting.
Mm.
Audio, very good. So that's accounts and statements list of. Have I got a mover and a seconder for that?
No.
Blanche, thank you. Peter, thank you. All those in favour?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
10.2. The adoption of the 25-26 annual budget, Appendix 2. John and Andrea, authors here.
Yeah, look, I'll throw that back to Andrea because Andrea's put that together, but.
Okay. Since the budget workshop, there hasn't been any changes to what's been put in there. This is actually the statutory report now, which is a culmination or summary, basically, of all the line items. Sheree, if you don't mind just going to page 5. Which is a statement of financial activity. This shows all the operating income from operating grants, fees and charges, interest, earning and other revenue, which amounts in our budget at the moment to $5.3 million. We have, if you'd like to go down a little bit further, expenditure from operating activities, which relates to employee costs, materials and contracts, utility charges, finance costs, which is our interest on our loans, insurance expenditure and other expenditure, which basically relates to if we're paying anything in terms of reimbursements and things like that, which amounts to just over $13 million. In our financial activity statement, we have add-backs, which relate to non-cash items, which is surrounding your profit and loss on a disposal of a plant. Okay, so it's basically a write-off in your books. And secondly, what's called depreciation, which is a non-cash item. So that brings it back that we have, that council is basically putting into, from a cash point of view, $2.6 million into operating activities to keep the Shire's operations working. If we go down a little bit further, we have got, compared to the previous year, substantial increase in capital income from $8 million in the previous year to $17 million this financial year. And a lot of that is in relation to the landfill realignment, which we're receiving $8.9 million for. We have got just over $600,000 to help with the clearing of the landfill realignment, as well as a contribution towards the culverts and the floodways on Mount Augustus Landfill Road. And we've also got an additional just over $500,000 coming from Roads Recovery to help that project as well. In addition to that as well, we've been fortunate to have substantial increases in other funding, such as Regional Road Group is upped from about $380,000 to about $500,000 per road in this financial year. And that's what's all encompassed in that $17 million. So from a Shire point of view, we've done extremely well and to receive the capital funding that we are, so that enables us going forward to then go further down on our capital expenditure, which amounts to just over $21 million. And that's substantial. I don't know if council, what I'll do is I'll go a little bit further before I talk about anything else. Just going down now to our financing activities, and we have coming in from reserves just over $40,000, and that relates to the laundry donga that we've carried forward from last year because we've only made a payment so far for the laundry donga. It needs to be put into place, and sewerage and lighting and all that kind of stuff needs to be done still. So that's an amount that is coming out of reserves in line with council resolution from the previous year. And we've also put in there, I hope everybody has seen the email that I sent out regarding the $600,000 that I couldn't remember actually advising council of the amount at the budget workshop, because we had put in repayments for a potential loan into the 26-27 year. Let's get it in the right year. No. 25-26, let me just get it right. And but the amount, couldn't remember actually advising anyone, so that's come out subsequently in an email to everyone. So within the capital expenditure above, we also have the property development as well of being $600,000, so it has a nil effect on the bottom line. They cancel each other out. Going a little bit further down, we have the repayments of the long-term borrowings. That includes now a potential new loan that we're looking at entering into. Once we've got all our information together, we can bring that also back to council. And also transfers to the reserves, which is made up of $75,000 in interest on reserve funding, as well as putting into reserves what we had displayed to council at the workshop, amounting to $886,000, buffering up our reserves. So, and you can see right at the bottom line now, we are now a balanced budget, so all expenditure and all income is now being balanced off and distributed in accordance with whether or not it's income expenditure or money's being put into our reserves. And from a council point of view, we're very fortunate to be able to put money into reserves based upon our budget. Has anyone got any questions so far, or have I lost everyone?
Yeah,
okay. So you got your hand up, Will?
No, I just want to say well done to the CEO and all the staff in the preparation of the budget. It's done extremely well as far as I've gone through it and been part of the budget workshop. So I want to make that point pretty upfront. My question is more relating to the question to council around the rate setting, and I guess if you're not there yet, I'll wait until I can ask that question.
Okay. That was actually page 17. So let's go down to page 17 if you don't mind, Cherie. Thank you.
Then probably mucking around with it down in the other room. John's in the office problem. Oh,
yep, thank you. Okay, the rates here are based upon ensuring that we comply with differential rating system, and what's Sorry, Will, there's something coming up and disappearing on our screens at the moment. Okay, and this is based upon the rates that we have adopted back in April at the OCM. As we go down a little bit further, this minimums haven't changed, the rate and the dollars are as adopted. And if we go down a little bit further, a bit more, thank you. We have now set our instalment dates and due dates for our first payment or our final payment, depending upon which option that the ratepayer takes, because as you all know, they either pay it all at one go or they go onto an instalment payment. So in line with the Local Government Act, we have now set the dates for anybody who wishes to be on an instalment program. Now, probably a good idea if you want to pose your question now. Will?
No, we haven't got that one yet. We're still talking about that. That's already adopted, isn't it?
All right, can I ask a question? Or are we discussing?
Yes,
sorry.
Please do.
Yeah, yeah. Just the first question on the top of that page 17.
Yep.
We mentioned the GR, all the rate types and the minimum rates.
Uh-huh.
Is there a reason why you've gone down in the budget from the previous year's budget on the GRV in town? Has something happened there in the Value General's valuation of properties in the town side, or is there a reason why we're less in this year's budget?
Have they gone?
We increased the rate in the dollar.
We kept the minimums the same. I'm absolutely positive they're the same, unless I'm going totally mad.
I thought we kept the minimums.
Yeah, just if you can see the numbers there, it's less raised in this year's budget than last year's budget.
Oh. No, there'd been a couple of minimums that had gone into, what is it called? They'd gone and
developed.
Their rate had actually increased above the minimum. So that has a basis on that. If there's been an increase in valuation, that
would make sense, but the GRV, the general rates, if you look at both general rates and minimum rates, they're both down on last year's budget. Maybe something to look at. I just wanted to bring attention to that because it doesn't look quite right.
There will be a reason for that.
Unless we got rid of some properties in town. And then secondly to that, I guess the main question I have for the council, we've got 26 ratepayers on the general rates in the rural and 12 on the minimum. And overall, the minimum doesn't really change, a little bit down. And we know this, we've talked about it, and John will say we've talked about it as well, but the UV rural's gone from 147 up to 288 based on the differential rate being half of the mining rate. And the rate in the dollar is obviously, there's an idea of a hardship policy or for partials to write into the Shire to seek a reduction in their rate charged in the dollar. I guess what I'm really keen on saying is some clarification around the council on the setting of the rates, and it's something that Councillor Taggart raised a while back, you know, whether we should have a rate cap or whatever, but I'm not sure if we are really looking at, you know, the context of the business side of things in the UV rural and understanding the impact of raising rates on that sector of our community. And I'm just raising that as a voice amongst council today, and I'm just I'm throwing out there that's my only concern with the budget is that rate impact on UV rural. So that's my comment.
Right. With the UV rural, what we have, what will be going out, just to assure you, is that, well, actually, let me put it two ways. One, we will be contacting all 26 people within that rate category to advise them that we will be sending them a application for financial hardship along with their rate notice. We will have the majority of the information already pre-filled for them. They just need to come and provide that they've, whatever reason that they're making an application for financial hardship, it then will come back to us and we will then take it to, I believe we've already now received, the CEO's received, what's it called, the authority
delegation.
From council, the delegation to actually approve this. We will then amend the rate to reflect the concession and then reissue that out to the ratepayer so that that becomes the new rate notice. And then once on application, we will then quantify what the concession is based upon the financial hardship application and bring that and quantify it into our budget as a budget review.
Correct.
So the point there is obviously that we I understand that that's perfectly well explained. The point really is it's, you know, obviously it is a rate impact because it will be up on last year's rates, and just knowing that, you know, obviously it's not a booming time in the pasture world. So just wanted to have that conversation as amongst councillors to see if that's where all the council feels fit on that impact on those properties.
I think we were going to have a discussion about separate to this meeting, weren't we? But I think as a group, we were going to talk about that at the community strategic meeting later on in the year about, you know, going forward. I think, Will, if that's, you know, sort of, it is a pretty good time to have that conversation and go through that one. But yeah, your concerns are, you know, valid. But yeah,
we all fully understand the reason why we've done what we've done, and we've done that to try and we've done that to safeguard the UV rural rates.
It's basically to eliminate the risk that the Department of Local Government will deny us having a higher mining rate. That's always a risk. We have to apply for it. We have to justify it. We have a process that we need to go through, and it takes at least up to 2 to 3 months to get that. And then we're waiting on the Department of Local Government to actually say, yay, you've got it, or no, you haven't. So if we don't get it, then we have to basically go back to the drawing board and go through the whole process again for rate setting, which can take a further 3 months, delaying our budget. And that's not how a council can operate. Because we can't operate without a budget.
Okay, and I think we're going to see this played out very shortly. And I think once it's all played out, and you know, everybody receives their rates notices, and that's all fully understood, and we go through this one, I think it'll be something that'll be understood much better, and it'll be accepted, very well accepted for the reason why it is why we're doing it.
Yeah. I missed the button.
I agree with you, Jim.
As
I said, there might be a few people scratching their head while they've got, you know, basically a 22% increase in their rate in the dollar.
Well, we sent out and consulted with all rural ratepayers and about exactly what was going to happen, what the impact was going to be, and what the process was going to be. So they've all been given that correspondence. They're all aware that it's out there. So, and not one, apart from your dad ringing up on phone, responded to it. So, it's a hard call to say they don't know what's going on, because there's nothing more we can do.
What do you suggest?
No, I acknowledge that. I'm just mindful. I think Jim's right. I think we roll it out,
yes.
But be also mindful we may have to look at further concessions if, you know, essentially the business community of our pastoral sector is saying, you know, no one's making any more money, so why are they getting rated? Why? The question is, why do we need to continually? Yeah, I understand the rationale for the Department of Local Government. Got that, understood. But just something we need to in the back of our mind when we're setting these rate settings is that financial impact and how that pastoral operation is going to raise that money to pay its rates. So just let's have a conversation about that at the community strategic plan.
And and that's the ideal spot to have that, Will, and fully understand. But the other thing that we need to understand, if we do change those rates, we will then have to change the mining rates. So as long as we all understand that, that's a decision we as seven councillors can all make, and we can run with that at the right time.
Yeah, I agree with that, but probably don't need it in the context of what the concession rate I'm talking about. So we're going from nine cents to 11 cents in hardship rather than 17 cents, because, you know, 17 cents is like the highest, second highest pastoral rate in the state. We just, in the context of the concession rate, we should just be mindful that's still 22% increase on 9 cents to 11 cents. And that's, yeah, no one's getting 22% more for their cattle at the moment. That's what I'd raise it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Will.
Yeah. I've got a question. I missed the budget meeting because, you know, it obviously got bloody postponed there on pretty short notice. But that GRV transient workforce accommodation sort of line there, that's obviously a bit of a new line, that, isn't it? Has that been around for a while?
Yeah, we've had it there for last year and this year. And we are actually going to back rate Hastings on that for last year and for this year.
And we've got one more. We've got eventually got to pick up the Mount Augustus
tourist park down there as well.
Because that's been, you know, that it's only fair that everybody within the, you know, Mount Augustus tourist park has a lot of traffic in and out. Everybody is rated fairly, evenly, you know, as fairly as we as a group of councils think they're rated. And Mount Augustus Tourist Park hasn't been in the past.
And that would be in that transient workforce.
Well, we'll call it something
different. Whatever it is.
Same thing, we'll get it excised out into GRV, yep. And then we can set up another category, tourism, whatever it be, but the same rate. But basically what that gives us the ability to do is to be able to, we're not getting stuck with that miscellaneous licences type of stuff, because we've actually converted that to GRV. There's a full-blown process to go to that. It's got to be published in the Government Gazette. There's got to be a whole range of things you go through just to be able to excise it, which we did. That was really our test case at Hastings, but we'll back-rate them and we'll also rate them.
Is that, that's in the same way that rural and mining have to be 50% of each other or 100% more?
Not the same category.
That's right, but is that just a coincidence that is set at 25 cents as opposed to 1.25, or is that...
It's not a coincidence, that's exactly right. It can't be greater than double the amount. It
can't be
And so, yeah, good pick up.
Against another GRV set.
Correct. Yeah.
So the GRV set, it's 12.5?
Yep.
And that's how the differential rating system works.
And this back rating business that is being spoken about... I might be on my own here, but if I was put in that situation of where the Shire said, oh, look, we've created this new bit of a thing here for you, and by the way, you know, we've decided we're just going to clip you for the last bloody 5 years on that same thing as well. I mean, money's nice, but I would flip the table over.
No, what happened is that we didn't rate them. Even though that was there, we did not rate them because of the confusion around miscellaneous licences. So it was there, even then last year, it was there. But we didn't rate at that point because of the confusion over the miscellaneous licences provision.
Mm.
That's now been resolved to a large degree with Supreme Court as it stands at the moment. And then it was also further resolved with the application of the GRV, how we've done that. We've done it we're not talking about a miscellaneous licence, so we're quite entitled to go back and ask for that rate. We can go back 5 years, but not on that, only as far back as when we did it.
Once again, I don't know. You wonder how I'd be a bit... I'd just say, look, she just kicks off from now, would be my take on it, but I'm not sure how other people in the room feel, but yeah, the sort of view, yeah, it's a bit cute going back too far after, you know, a new... verdicts come down, you just kick off from fresh there. I would have thought it would be the story, but this is not the time for this discussion, I suppose.
Hamish, sorry. You go ahead.
You go first.
All right, Hamish. This conversation, I believe, regarding the back rate and the current rate for the transient workers' accommodation has been discussed between John and Hastings because it's only one rate payer it relates to. So at this present time, so they are aware of it. I also have deliberately not brought the back rate into the budget at this point in time till we've got everything else sorted. but with the hope that the back rate will support the pastoral concession when I do my budget review. I understand where you're coming from, but I mean, that's how I've looked at it and kept that up my sleeve.
Does it leave, just a show out of left field there, the gas plant more?
They don't have to be rated.
But they've got temporary...
Doesn't matter. They don't have to be rated. It's state government agreement. They pay us money, but that's ex gratia because they feel like they owe us money.
That must be a bit similar to our houses here.
Yeah, well, nothing's similar to state houses. You don't rate, you can't rate state house. You know, like a Holmes West house is non-rateable property.
What about the shop up at Burringer? Is that rateable or not?
Can't rate it. It's on Aboriginal Land Trust land, which is part of the state. Can't rate it.
And you're talking about the gas line?
Yeah.
It's there, the facility fees. Right. We received $7,000 24-25. I brought in seven again because they do just pay us.
Yeah, but legally, we can't levy a rate on it.
Okay. That's finalised. Yeah,
I'll move this motion to accept.
Hang on, have you finished, Andrew?
The only thing I was going to say is page 32, which is reserves. Yeah, just a little bit further, thank you. That's just our budget there for reserves at present, and we've opened up our opening balance is just over 2.2 million with the inflow injection into the reserves plus the interest. We are looking to increase at this point in time our reserves to 3.1 million, or just about coming close to 3.2 million. So that's how we've balanced our budget with the funds going back into that for future. You know, building up our reserves for future projects and all, you know, as we require them, depending upon the nature of what can crop up as you operate.
Well done, Andrew.
All right.
That's pretty impressive, that reserve. What's in that reserve, I reckon?
All right. Any questions for anyone?
Well, I've just got a... I'm not quite sure what the heck goes on here, John. It looks like we've got a
list. We've got there's three different parts to it. So we've got to move the adoption of the statutory budget.
So
what this is.
So we're going to.
We need a mover and a second.
Mover of the statutory budget is the first.
I'll move it if I can.
Will and Blanche, thank you. All, and we need an absolute majority. All those in favour?
Aye. Aye.
Right, better. What do we need, mate? Righto. Second part of it. Installation of the general and minimum rating, rate installment payment agreement, charges and
interest. We've already adopted this once before.
So we need a mover and a seconder for this.
I'll move it.
Hamish, thank you. Ray. Thank you. Once again, absolute majority we need. All those in favour?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. And part three of it all is, part C is...
I didn't see this bit down there. At the end there.
Material variance report for 2025 to 2026.
Just have to read this, Jim. I actually missed this in the bloody. Yeah. I've missed this in the.
No, just no worries. Once everybody's comfortable there with that, I will require a mover and a seconder once everybody's comfortable with that.
Is that a new? Is that a new thing as well?
No.
Yeah. Has that been around forever? Yeah, right. Mm. I'll move it anyway.
You're comfortable with that? Righto. Hamish moving it. Blanche second.
Okay. Yeah.
All those in favour?
Yep.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you and well done.
I have to get someone to explain to me one day why Shire buildings don't get rated, yet pastoral leases do, seeing as that pastoral leases are all Crown land as well.
Pardon? Well, why would you rate yourself?
Yeah, well, pastoral leases
You're rating yourself. It's what you so we'd charge ourselves for a rate, and the Shire would have to pay the rate to the Shire. Why would you do that?
Yeah, but yeah, I'm just pastoral leases are all Crown land as well, too.
Yeah, but this is not. We own the land.
Yeah.
So it's not Crown land. It's owned by the Shire of Upper Gascoyne, but we're charging ourselves.
Yeah. Pastoral leases.
It would
leases.
Be in and out.
Yeah.
Be,
pastoral leases are Crown land.
Yeah, but we're not. That, we can rate Crown land. Yeah. We're not. We hold freehold land. Yeah. We hold freehold title on it.
We probably aren't a private business, but anyhow, moving on. We need to.
I don't own it.
Just a silly question on that one. And Hamish has just asked the question. What's the go with the tavern? Is that rateable property? Do they pay rates back to, as the business back to the Shire?
No, because it'll be owned. It's owned by us.
Well, they're still operating a business on a lease.
I've done a bit of research into this, and because they're running a business, that then takes precedence. Because it might be owned by us, but they're running it, so they do pay rates on it.
Oh, righto.
Roger. Okay, thank you.
Yep. It was a bit of a... But I've gone through it, and I thought, well, okay, that actually makes sense.
Righto.
Just have to put the date in that agenda item.
10.3. Adoption of the 25-26 fees and charges. Appendix 3. Andrea?
Yep.
Is there anything you're able to
Okay. Address? Just to advise council, even though this is our smallest income stream, we need to adopt our fees and charges, otherwise we cannot charge anybody any fees, any charges whatsoever. As a local government. What we have done this year is we have identified on our fees and charges what is statutory, that's coming from another instrument such as an act, could be cats and dogs, it could be the Food Act. So that's actually the determination of that fee. What we are bringing to council today is only council fees, which is solely reliant upon us and what we charge. We have there's very little change from last year, except that we have raised the fee by, I believe, around 2.7%, which is CPI. And looking at everything there, it's no change really from last year. And it's just on that basis, trying to make it as clear-cut as possible. So I'm presuming everyone's had a chance to have a look at that. And if anyone's got any queries on the actual fees themselves, please ask.
Everybody's right on that. That is good. A mover and a seconder is required. Ray, thank you. And Peter, thank you. All those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you. 10.4, Landor Mount Augustus Realignment Earthworks. Tender delegation.
No, not really. Not on this one.
John?
Yeah, look, I believe the situation is that one is that once we adopt the concrete works today, then Josh wants to go to tender on Saturday, I think, is the go. He's going to run the tender for 2 weeks and then wants to appoint as soon as possible after that, after he's done his report and recommendation on who should be doing the earthworks for that land wall road. So there's a couple of elements with this one. It's bloody tricky.
by the time he does his 14 days and then does his assessment, it'll be in that 8th of September, sort of in that week of that 8th of September, sometime in there. And that means we fall within the period where we're not allowed to make decisions. With the election coming up. So that's whether I make a decision or whether council makes a decision. It doesn't matter who it is. But there is an avenue of being able to get an exemption on that. So I've written to the Executive Director of Department of Local Government seeking that exemption so we can make that decision early as possible. Haven't heard back from her yet, hopefully shortly. But realistically, if that is the case, then I can make that decision, or council could. But what it would really mean is that we can make that decision ASAP, because we need to get on the ground. Otherwise, we will have to wait. At the earliest we could adopt it would be October, which puts us back at least six weeks.
Couldn't reasonably expect the contract to start within a few weeks of that.
Yeah, we need to be on the ground with this one, because this is a big job to get that land all done. And get it done before July of next year. So 6 weeks is knocks us out a long, long way. So based on that, I'm anticipating that the department will give us the go-ahead, but I can't guarantee that. So if they don't give us the go-ahead, it's October. If they do give us the go-ahead, and depending on the outcome of this, we would either have to have a special meeting of council, or if council delegate this to me, then I can make that decision and provide that it, as soon as I've got the report from Josh, send it off to you fellas as well. So really this item's about giving me the authority to be able to accept that tender in accordance with the Act.
Any questions? Comments?
Pardon me.
Sorry, Will.
Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I understand. I understand the timing. I understand the department's, the minister's amendments to the Act that changes the decision-making authority around elections and the rest. I still have an issue with the financial oversight, I guess, that we're sort of imparting from council in the process of making decisions around tenders. So I'm just going to vote against this today, and not because of the way the report's structured. It's just how I feel strongly about having the opportunity to review the tenders and being part of a process of decision making rather than delegating it to administration. So that's my personal view and my experience. So I'm just going to vote against the item today.
No worries at all. So how would this fit comfortably with you? You obviously understand the urgency that we need to do this. Have you got a way this could work?
The alternative, yeah. So the alternative would be just appointing a committee of council or three or four councillors to be part of that process to make a decision with the CEO. And alternatively, having a special council meeting prior to the date that John's just explained, that is possible to make a decision. That's my two alternatives to the officer's recommendation.
So based on our experience, how we do things is that Josh Kirk provides a report, an independent report. Josh Kirk provides an independent recommendation based on applying that multi-criterion analysis. In my entire experience of 10 years here, we have never once gone against one of his recommendations as yet. A committee would not have any delegated authority to make any decision whatsoever. So the only way you could do it would be to have a full special meeting of council to bring that forward to whatever date it is, that report. So whether you can get enough councillors to turn up, or the other alternative, which is legal under the Act, which is currently being done by other local governments. You delegate the authority to the CEO. He provides a copy of the report from Josh Kirk anyhow, but I wouldn't be going outside of that recommendation. And we get on with it, because it's time is deadly here.
When would that recommendation be through from Josh? So if we were going to hold a call a special council meeting,
the week of the 8th, but I couldn't tell you the date.
Week of the 8th.
If you want to grab Josh,
see if he. But I'd say, it's a massive tender, massive document, and depending on whether you receive, need a solid probably a week.
Well, we need all I'm trying to come up with is a day here that then we as a group of councillors can say, do we want to come for this or do we want to vote on this now? So if we can get a bit of an idea of what that date would be.
It has to be an absolute majority. When I say an absolute majority, it means four votes. Does not mean up.
But I sort of get what Will's saying, and I understand the urgency of what we need to do. So let's just see if we can make it work for everybody.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I'm happy to vote today.
Yep. No worries. We'll just work all this out first, then we'll work out where we go.
Josh, the question is, you're intending to go to tender on Saturday.
Okay.
We run it for 14 days. As short a time as the Act allows. When do you think you would have a detailed report back to council, by the time you go through? What date do you, or day or date or thereabouts, do you reckon?
So tenders are scheduled to close on the 15th of September, which is 14 days, the first Monday after 14 days. I would have thought by this 16th, end of the 16th, early 17th, we'll have a detailed report ready to go. Now that assumes that there's not clarifications and other bits and pieces we have to go back and forth with the tenderers on, but 17th would be a pretty good date.
Yeah.
You can't decide, unless the minister says we can, then you'd have to wait until the 27th of September.
No, all we're doing is just trying to work our way through this, so. If we were to do this, we would call for a special council meeting on some like the 17th or something. So now we understand that. What I'll do is I'll ask for a mover and a seconder on this as it is, and see where we end up. Is there somebody who wants to move this as recommended? Ray, thank you. Blanche, thank you. Those in favour? Thank you.
5-1. Okay, move on.
Thank you.
Please record that I voted against it.
Yep, no
we
worries.
We legally have to do that, Will. That's how we do it.
And there's nothing there's nothing wrong with what we've all just done, but this is how we need to operate, you know? So everybody's opinion counts. Righto, thank you. 10.5, change of September ordinary meeting date. So we all understand why that's going to that needs to change, because it needs to fit in with the Walga conference that we've got Will and Elise attending, so they can do the conference and then get back for our council meeting.
So that's a Saturday.
Hang on, what have we got here? When are we requesting for this the council meeting to be
26. Council move the date to the 26th of September.
26.
Makes it a massive pain in the ass for me, I've got to say, but.
I think it's the 27th in the agenda item. Is it 27th or 26?
26 in the recommendation, sorry.
I'll change that.
So what date do we want? Oh, right.
Friday the 26th.
Friday the 26th. Everybody understands that?
Yeah.
Righto.
Yes.
I need a mover and a seconder for that, thanks.
But that is the next meeting.
Yes.
I want to be
When's that paper? The 27th? 26th. You won't be here?
All right, because there, right, and this is where we had to go back to where we kicked off this morning.
There were the Pete Pudgeon, now we Pete request that he be absent for the 26th.
So how's everybody going about making it on that Friday the 26th? Peter's out, he's out going to be absent?
I can make it.
I'm not sure. I could either be Zooming or I could be here.
No, well, you can Zoom. You can Zoom, no worries.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah, you're still going to attend the meeting.
You're still attending the meeting. Yeah. Right, I'll move. I want somebody to move and second that this has changed. Ray, thank you very much. Blanche, thank you.
I can second it. Blanche, Lou.
To the 26th.
Yeah, it's like we're sort of shifting a date here to suit a couple of people, but it just buggers up another couple sort of to go here, is it? I mean,
because Will and Elise are attending the Wagga conference, and they want to be able to attend the conference, then get back in time for the meeting. What goes on that time of the year here?
Well, the kids are all flying in from the school.
Oh, rightio, right.
You're losing
one to say.
Yeah.
Clarification, was Peter able to make that Wednesday, the 24th, or not?
Was who, sorry?
Was Councillor Windy able to make the 24th anyway? Was he going to make the next meeting, or was he out altogether?
24th?
Yeah.
You could you make the 24th? Yeah, but not the 26th. Okay.
So what's wrong with the 25th?
Thank you.
Hang on. Sorry, what's wrong with the 25th?
The travel in, isn't it? Travel back. I thought it was. Or was it a 2-day meeting?
Can you make the 25th, Pete?
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You could make the 25th.
Does the 25th fit better for you? For you, right?
Yeah, I think it probably would.
Does the 25th fit, or, well, does that work with you, Will? Would that work for you and Elise?
I think they'd be travelling. I mean, that might be the travel day, but they could make it work. I can't speak for Elise. I can only speak for myself. Obviously, the conference is the 24th, and the intention is to travel back up on the 25th. So, you know, again, it's one of those things that if it's a travel day, it'd be probably having to be attending by electronic rather than being in person.
What have we got? Rightio. So we'll cancel that. What we originally said. Well, originally wanted somebody to move in a second. So, are we happy to cancel? Are we? Is there more support for the 25th? The council meeting on the 25th. Mover?
Yeah, I'll do whatever.
Like,
it's not going to be.
One, two, three, four, five. Will, six. Yeah, we definitely got numbers on the 20th. We'd have a full house on the 25th. You'd have to attend via phone or something, wouldn't you, Will?
Yeah, I'll be on the phone. Yep.
Yeah. Rightio. 25th, mover for that council meeting be shifted to the 25th. Right, Ray, thank you. Blanche, thank you. All those in favour?
Aye.
All right. It's always tricky, you know, like, hopefully we've made the best of a bit of a messy situation there with people getting and going, coming and going. Right, yeah, 10.6. 2025 Delegation Register Review. Appendix 4. John.
I just let our statutory review of the Delegation Register, which has got to be done every 12 months. It's thereabouts. So we put in the one that we'd already adopted, and the second one was basically part of what I did when I went back to Wagga to find out about this, CEO being able to be delegated the authority to accept or reject tenders. The lady from the their governance section probably said that we should put it in the, what do you call it, the delegated authority register. So that's a new one. So I've basically said that what we've done today, we've given me authority to do that. I've kept that there, but the conditions I've put on there is that the council's approval is required. That stipulates the tender, the maximum amount that the CEO can accept or reject as the case requires, and provides councils with a detailed assessment, justification, report as soon as practicable. Exactly what we've done today, but all I've done is put that in the delegation register to make sure, as per Walter's governance, probably advice to that point. And obviously section 87, the authority to determine rate concessions, which we've already approved anyhow. So I've plonked that back in there. And Councillor Baston has raised a question about delegation 73. Is that right, Will?
Yeah, delegation 73, please.
That one talks about the delegated authority for the CEO to determine if we should go to tender or not, and it only relates to sole suppliers. In other words, if there is only one supplier for something, then why would you go to tender? There's no point. Because that is a sole supplier. That doesn't often happen. No. I don't think we've ever had one.
No, that's what I was going to say. Is there any example of that?
Yeah, we've never had one. They did have one in Exmouth when it came up, and that got a bit messy, but just take the messiness out of it. That was to do with a supplier for an aquarium, blah, blah, blah. So that got a bit messy because apparently there were two suppliers, but the CEO actually said there was one, and that got a bit...
I see this as a bit of a messy one for any CEO, John, because ultimately, you know, it falls back on you to sort of demonstrate that there is only one supplier, and you know, is it something actually we should be doing or not doing, and is there any merit to having it in the delegations register at all? That's what I was raising a point about. It's probably putting more risk to the CEO than anything.
Well, we're talking about one item, which is sole suppliers, so... What it says is basically the CEO has got to determine there's a sole supply, if it is a sole supply,
What Will's asking, I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, Will, is how does John determine who's a sole supplier?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and also, I mean, is there need to be a file note back to council to say, this is the process I've undertaken, Rung yellow pages or gone somewhere or done something to show that there's only one sole supplier. I just think it puts the office of the CEO into a bit of, obviously it can be done under this delegation, but yeah, I don't think it's a good practice to put the CEO in that position, I reckon.
Well, there is conditions to that. So the determination is to be supported by a detailed report. So I have to provide a detailed report to justify why I've said that's the sole support. And the determination is to be recorded in the appropriate record. So those under, you've got 73, go down a bit, sorry, under those conditions. So it's already conditional.
Mm-hmm.
That those
reports. When you say detailed report, does it have to be noted by council, or what's the procedure there, John?
I'd send it out, same as I do your reports from Greenfield. But as I said, it's never happened in 10 years. It's just there in the event that it ever does happen. But most of the stuff we deal with, we've never ever had that. We've always had.
I mean, you could, for example, you could technically say the next time we buy a grader, if council is fixated on we're definitely buying a cat grader, well, there is only one sole supplier. But we do, out of good practice, get other tenders anyway, or we come back to council and say, can we waive the person policy?
Yeah, look, that's not about that, because there's multiple suppliers of graders. It's more about if you've got one specific product or one specific service that is only supplied by one single company.